Are you glad he's coming again tonight? Amen. Coming again tonight? That would be all right, wouldn't it? That would be all right. I'll tell you, the world definitely has lost its luster in my eyes. I can truthfully say that, but I was just thinking as they were singing, you know, the only way to be ready for his return is to be ready now. I can tell you he's coming, Brother Dale, but I can't tell you when. The be robed and all ready. That's the key tonight, is being ready to go when he comes. I can't tell you when he's coming, but I believe with all my heart it's soon. I feel that in my heart. Feel that draw and that pull. And as time goes on, I've heard this said before, and as time goes on, you have more invested over there than you do here. We should anyway. We should. People and rewards and things like that. You think about it that way. We're going to talk a little bit about rewards tonight. If you will, let's be turning to Hebrews chapter number 6. I'm going to try to finish out this chapter tonight and break it down in about probably two or three different little clusters, if you will, but kind of move along quickly through it. Try not to be stagnant or anything like that. We do have a business meeting tonight and have a time of prayer, much to be in prayer for. So many in the community to be in prayer for in our church. Let's also be in prayer for revival. That's been laying really, I say, heavy on my heart, heavy in a good way. I need it, and I want it. I know I've been thinking about it a lot, and it's not something that you just plan for way out there. If you want to feel revived in your heart tonight, you can. You get close to God, you get close to his word, and let him work in your heart. He can revive you. He can help you in ways that I can or other people can't, but he can help you tonight, and I want us to really remember that and think about that. It's not something way out there somewhere that you plan for and you block a week off and just maybe have a time of services then. You can be revived tonight if you're willing to follow through with the Lord. But just looking at this here, I know we've had some really what I would call heavy scripture to look at, some different things, probably some of the most controversial scripture in the Bible as we've read through, talking about salvation, talking about if it was possible for that to be lost, and teaches if it were possible for that to happen, then a person couldn't regain it back. That's a scary thing to think about. I'm glad to know that my salvation is eternal. I'm glad to know that that is forever settled in heaven. But tonight we're going to be talking a little bit about rewards, about how rewards are, and I thought about that today and about why would God allow that? Why would God allow us to have rewards or allow us to do a work for him? And you know, he is our creator. He knows how he created us to be. It's important for you and I not to stay in the same place for long periods of time. We need to grow and we need to move in our minds. Our minds need to stretch boundaries, if you will, learn and to grow. Nobody knows everything. There's people who spend a lot of time in the Bible, a lot of time in study, a lot of time in whatever their field might be, and by all accounts be called an expert, I guess you could say, but really as deep as the Bible is, I'd be afraid to call anybody an expert truly on the Bible. Jesus, do you know everything about Jesus that there is to know? Because he's the Word. How deep and how unsearchable is God, his love, his son. So we can pull from that. I believe the Lord allows us to have rewards, earn rewards, if you will, by being obedient to him. I guess you could almost call it incentives. You know, I would say it like this. Being saved, Brother Allen, is enough. That's a blessing. We don't fully understand what we're saved from and how appreciative we should be of just what we have in salvation, just knowing where we're going if you're saved tonight. But also on top of that, he adds things to that, his blessings, rewards, crowns even. He adds things that we can win for him just for being faithful. He gives us every reason, Brother Bill, to be faithful and none not to be. He tries to encourage us and to help us and keep our minds occupied. I think a lot about our minds, and if our minds are not being placed on the right things throughout the week, and how our minds can be negatively affected by that. It's so good that he gave us his word that we can focus on that and be encouraged and be helped and learn and grow. But tonight I'm going to start with verse number 7. We'll go through verse 20. I know it's a lot, but We can definitely break it down to where it's not so much for tonight. But verse number 7, it says, "For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it was dressed, receiveth blessing from God." So you see the earth, you see the blessing, you see how it's growing there. And we'll just go ahead and just go verse by verse. We're going to look at 7 and 8 together. It says, "But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned." So you see during the first part, we were talking about again before last couple of weeks, a few weeks. Again, I want to just say here how much I appreciate Brother Tim filling in for us last week. I appreciate that. And Dad had a good report from his MRI and his test, so I thank the Lord for that also. That's a blessing. But we see here almost a compare and contrast. It says, "For the earth which drinketh in the rain, and cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God." Just looking at creation, you can see how God set this earth up. He set it up to receive the rain, to take it in, and to be able to use that to grow herbs, to grow plants. You see now a lot, and hopefully the cold weather won't hurt them too bad, but you're seeing things bloom. You and I are not causing it to do that. The way the earth is set in motion by God, He is causing it to be that way. He's causing it to grow. He's sending the rain. He's sending the nitrogen. You're seeing the grass. I've been seeing a lot of the real deep green grass. I got to smell a little bit of the grass being cut somewhere. I noticed when I drove by, somebody was mowing their lawn the other day. Got to smell that. And that's set in place by God. And you and I are supposed to be that same way. God gives us opportunity to grow. He gives us what we need to grow with. He gives us the instruction from His Word. He gives us life experiences that we can either choose to follow Him and trust Him through it and grow from it or not. So I want us to see that here, this compare and contrast. This earth is set up to be that way. You and I are set up to be that way. We're not supposed to be just to ourselves. We're not supposed to be left alone. There's maintenance involved. You wouldn't just purchase a new vehicle and never take it in for maintenance or have things checked out. You would have that looked at. There's annual maintenance, monthly maintenance. With you and I, it's daily maintenance. Our bodies need that physically, mentally, and spiritually. We need daily maintenance. We can't just put ourselves in cruise control or think that we don't have to study or what have you or be engaged. It's important that we do that. If we don't, our minds, I feel like our minds kind of get fuzzy and foggy, and that's not a good thing. And what we see here for those that are not growing or what happens, you think about the herbs. You think about what farmers do. They go and they look at the fruit that's on the vine and they take that fruit and they harvest that. And they use that. That's the prize. That's the reward from that plant. But the problem is here, you also see in verse number 8 that that which bear thorns and briars is rejected. And is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. It's worthless. We see those things out in the field that are worthless, the briars. I remember helping some of my friends out in hay and being out in the field, and it's hot and messy anyway, but when you grab the bales of hay, instead of just being able to grab it and just toss it right onto the back of the trailer, sometimes it was too heavy. And I remember that you'd pick it up and you'd have to kind of catch it on your legs and then toss it over. And those briars would eat you up. I'd go home with scratches all over my legs and just the pants worn out. It didn't take long. I think maybe the first time I went out with Brother Aaron and Brother Daniel, I had shorts on. The next time I didn't do that. I mean, it just wasn't good. It was hot, but it just wasn't good. But those briars, those thorns, that's a product of sin. There's no benefit. There's no good purpose for it. It's worthless. And you take all those things up. If you're cleaning the field out, as the farmers would take the fruit and place those in this safe place or place it where they want it to, where they can further use it, they would place it here. But all those briars, all those thorns, they're also placed up, but they're also placed up to be burned and to be getting rid of, to be discarded. You can see how the differences of this is being here. It's important that we grow. I want us to see here also in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. verses 10 through 15. In thinking about rewards, I thought about that about myself, and I don't know. I'm obviously not the judge, but I think about it this way. Lord, do I have rewards now? Are there rewards that I have laid up now? And I think about it, and I wonder what those might be. I don't know. Maybe I'm weird in that, but the Lord says we can earn rewards. Do you ever think about that? You ever think about, you know, this is important to me. I don't want to lose this. Sometimes people win awards and things, and they'll get plaques, and they'll, you know, put those up at home and maybe reflect on that and be thankful for it. But you and I can win spiritual rewards. But likewise, the Bible teaches here in these scriptures that we can lose those rewards. I would hate to lose anything that the Lord has for me. I'd hate to lose that. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, verses 10 through 15, it says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed to how he buildeth thereon. See, God is the master builder. There's no other foundation. We read that earlier in this chapter. We're not building again the foundation. When Jesus went to the cross, the work that he did, his mission, his work, he's already laid the foundation. We're not doing anything new. We can only work for him, work with him, but work for him. We can only add to the foundation that God has already builded. Verse 11, it says, for other foundation can no man lay than that laid, which is Jesus Christ. He's the foundation. And what a foundation we have in him. Everything that we should be focusing on should be centered around Jesus Christ and doing for the gospel's sake. Verse 12, it says, now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble. You imagine adding all of those things up. I was thinking about gold this week. Gold is still probably one of the most precious metals that still are minerals that's still on this earth. I think somebody said that the price had just gone up again. And that's pretty remarkable. If you look around the world today, most everything is decreasing in value as far as what you're seeing. Banks are closing. I know prices are going up. That's called inflation. But is it really worth that? You say, well, you know, I wish I could sell my house today for what they're saying it's worth. But how much would you spend to replace it? You see how that is and how hard that would be. But you're talking about building here, building on the foundation. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest and shall be made known. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now you think about everything that you or I may have thought that we've done for the Lord. All of our works. You think about each day, kind of how your conduct would be each day, what you do from day to day. Not just on Sunday or maybe attending church, but you think about 1 week, what you do during that week, the work that you put in the workplace. Now, look at that and think, how much work did I actually do for the Lord in that week? So you're working probably if you realize it or not, one way or the other, working for ourselves, working for our families, working for money, working to do good, working to be slothful, working for self, or working for the Lord. We're doing something constantly, because the Lord has blessed us with time, and either we're making a full benefit of that time or we're not. So if you could place it in two separate piles, this past week, everything that you've done for the Lord, and then everything that you've done for yourself or for another reason, which stack would be the highest? Which stack would have the most value? I'll tell you this, a little bit for the Lord is better than a whole lot for yourself. I can tell you that. But you see, we need to be doing a whole lot for the Lord. But you have those two piles, or you mix it together. And here's the thing. You think about the mercy seat, or you think about judgment, when the Lord is going to pass all of our works throughout all of our lifetime. And it's going to be placed in a fire. And only those things that we truly did for the Lord is going to come out the other side. Do we look at our lives that way? Do we perceive it that way? Do we take today that way? When we wake up in the morning, Lord willing, if He gives us another day, are we going to look at it and say, this is another opportunity that I actually have something that I can build upon the foundation of Jesus Christ or not? That should change how we live our lives and what we do. Because everything that we do, believe it or not, child of God, if you're saved, everything we do is going to be passed through a fire. And what comes out the other side would be what would be graded or valued as our reward. As if any man's, again, it says, verse number 13, it says, if any man's work shall be made manifest, or every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, that day of judgment, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. So you think about all the good with all the bad, the Lord is going to grade that. And if there is anything that's left after passing through the fire, you know the briars, the thorns, they're not going to make it. They're going to be burnt up. They're going to be consumed. If we're living our lives as briars and thorns and just being cold and indifferent, that's not going to gain a reward. Faithfulness is what gains a reward. It says here in verse number 15, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet as so by fire. I would hate to think that I lived my life in such a manner that I would not have any rewards for the Lord. Now, I'll say this again, being in heaven, being saved is enough, but the Lord gave us opportunity to have more, to be able to give more. When I think about what the Lord's done for me, it does cause me to want to do something for Him. And He takes it so far as to say, if you do something for me, I will reward you on top of your salvation. Church, salvation is enough. Just to be in heaven on the sideline would be enough. But Jesus says, if you will follow me and you'll take seriously what I've given you in my word, you'll follow that, you'll build upon the foundation that I've laid, I will give you rewards for that. What a blessing that is. You think about leading people to Christ, being an encouragement, being a help, being a blessing, reaching out to your neighbor, helping them. The Lord gives us so many different ways that we can help. Being a prayer warrior. Beautiful thing about the Lord is He doesn't forget those things. He doesn't forget those. Also, Revelation 3:11, it just says, and I'm paraphrasing here, it says, hold fast what that you have that you don't lose it. It's not talking about your salvation. It's talking about rewards. I'd hate to earn something for the Lord and maybe have a storehouse in heaven built up, and then by my actions or refusing to follow the Lord later on in life or what have you, to lose those. Would that not be bad? That'd be a sad thing. Hold fast what you have. Really think about what you can do for the Lord. We see here in verse number 9 it says, but beloved, we are persuaded better things of you. This is an encouragement. You hear those two verses and you weigh that out, you could really try to place it in a position of fear. I think sometimes that's what happens in church, and maybe sometimes on purpose and maybe a lot of times not on purpose, that someone may try to scare someone or fear someone into being obedient or to doing a specific thing for the Lord. But this is to be an encouragement. It is heavy verses, but Paul is wanting this to be an encouragement. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though thus we speak. Things that accompany salvation. Rewards. Crowns. This is to be an encouragement. It's not to be an encouragement to be in a legalistic system. If we're not careful, you think about works, then you start getting that checkoff list, kind of what we was talking about on Sunday. You kind of get this checkoff list. I've got to do this checkoff list. And it becomes laborsome in a bad way. It becomes, I don't know how else to say it, it becomes legalistic. And that's very easy to do. Become legalistic and become very bounding and very binding. That's how the Pharisees were. That's how they laid everything out. They piled all these extra things on people. You can never be as good as I am because look at all the things I do. That's legalism. If you look across at your neighbor and you feel or think that you're doing more than they are, that's legalism when you look at it that way. That's very binding. It's very bounding. I'll say it like this. When I remember this verse the other night, usually things don't really bother me too much, but the other night I couldn't sleep, I guess, with the time change. It was kind of messing with me a little bit, and I woke up and, you know, I picked up my phone, thought, well, I'll look at this a minute, and Sister Karen, I'll get sleepy and I'll go to sleep. But it didn't really happen that way. You know, I was flipping through it. I guess it was Facebook, but they put videos up. And they had this guy, and I hadn't seen this before. I don't even know. I got off of it pretty quick. I got away from it pretty quick. But he was in a cave, and he was laying on his stomach. And he had a camera, I guess, on a stick, so the camera was kind of out from him a little bit. But he was in this little crevice. And that's what he was doing. And he was sliding forward on his stomach with his head to the side. Had a light so you could see it. But what I noticed as he was moving forward, the ground in the top of that cave kept getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And his face, I mean, as he got sideways, his face, the top of his face and the bottom of his face was touching the cave walls. And he kept moving forward. Brother Terry, I got off of it. I said, I can't do this. And so I flipped over to something else. I said, I got to get my mind on something else because I'm very claustrophobic. I can't handle that. I remember my grandfather, when I was younger, my grandfather would get me down the floor and we'd wrestle. And he'd hold me down. It would scare me to death. I mean, he's just playing with me, but I couldn't handle that. But as I watched that, I kept getting this weird feeling. I was laying in the bed and the cover even felt heavy. I was like, this, I can't do this. And I was like, let me think about something else. But it got so bad, I had to get up. I felt so confined. It bothered me that much. It's like it was even hard to breathe, but I felt like everything was just collapsing on me. You know, that's how legalism works. That's how legalism is. It's very binding. It's very troublesome. You see, when you go to work for the Lord, truly, it's not a burdensome thing in that manner. Lord says, you come and work for me, I will give you rewards. People will look at the Christian life and they'll say it has to be a certain way, and they'll add all these different restrictions and things to it and make it try to be a certain way. I'm not saying that you can live ungodly. I'm not saying that. But the Lord is liberating. He is not binding. Legalism is binding. The Lord came to set us free. We were condemned already. But when Jesus came, he came to set us free. And he says, you know what? Now you can come work for me. Now you can help. It's all in him. It's him. But you can lead other people to the Lord. You can take a part in setting other people free. He said there's rewards. There's blessings. There's better things of you and things that accompany salvation. Not only can you experience it, you can help other people experience it. Verse number 10, it says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. That's a very blessed thing that we have in our Savior. If you truly repent of your sins, he will forget the bad and he'll remember the good. That's very against what human nature is. Very often, somebody can do something nice for you, and you'll probably remember it, but if somebody does something bad to you or hurts you, you'll probably never forget that. And what he's saying here, what the Lord is saying here with this encouragement, what Paul is saying here with this encouragement is, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love. It's not grievous. It's something that you want to do from the heart. It's not something that you pack on and that makes you feel claustrophobic and confined. It's liberating. It's like, I want to be good to others because that is a blessing. That's what the Lord would have me to do. I want to help somebody else. Not be caught up in my own world, but Lord willing, have my own world in a position that I can help somebody else. That I can be a blessing to somebody else. Verse number 11, it says, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. In verse 12, I'll read those two together. It says, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Full assurance of hope, that's full confidence and that's full trust. You see that word diligence, that is talking about steady application. And desire every one of you that do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope and to the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. I think sometimes people can get overzealous with things, be really on fire for something in the moment, and maybe burn out. A lot of times what you will see in Paul's illustrations that he gives, he compares our life to a race or to a marathon, to a long race, not a short race. It's not about short bursts. He talks about the long haul a whole lot. I find these verses to be encouraging and very consistent with that. You're talking about a whole lifespan. That's how faithfulness is measured. I heard Preacher Eric preach a message on faithfulness and how it's measured for a lifetime, not just a piece of time, but for a lifetime. If you employ people, do you want people to be faithful part of the time, or do you want them to be faithful all the time? Well, it wouldn't be faithful if they weren't faithful all the time. I mean, it's a full-time thing, is it not? That's the encouragement, being faithful to the full assurance to the end, seeing it all the way through, following through. That's what he's talking about us doing, is following it through. Talking about the Jewish people here. Again, we've mentioned this several times, how this is written. Hebrews is written to the nation of Israel, the Jewish people. Talking about the tribulation period and what is to come. Now you see verses 13, I'll just make mention of this here, 13 through 17. This is talking about the Abrahamic covenant. I won't go back, I've got it notated, but Genesis chapter 15, if you want to read that, it gives out what that covenant is about. It explains it. It's a very interesting covenant. A lot of things that happen with people, God will give a contingency, or he'll say, if you will this, then I will this. Sunday's message, if you will return unto me, then I will return unto you. But when he made this covenant with Abraham, he didn't give man, he didn't give Abraham the opportunity to mess it up. He came through, and if you go back and read it, you'll see as a fiery furnace, as a fiery lantern, he went through the midst of the sacrifice on his own to complete the covenant himself. He said, this is important. This has to be seen through. We're not going to let it rely anything on mankind. It relies strictly on God. That's the way the Lord had it set up. Verse 13, it says, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, God could not place it on any greater promise than himself. When God says something, he means it. There's nothing like God's promises. God's promises, there's no greater promise than that promise of God. We don't need to be misunderstood by making promises to one another or what people can do for one another, but when God makes a promise, it's going to happen. I don't think I take anybody by surprise in saying that, but if you're praying for something tonight that you're not sure if it's going to happen or not, stay faithful with the Lord. Keep praying. I'll encourage you to do that. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swear by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and the oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. For wherein God, willingly more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability, the unchangeability of two things, his counsel, and he confirmed it by an oath, his word, his counsel, and his word. When you look at what was taking place here, I'll go back and say, he promised the nation of Israel to succeed, be more than the sands of the sea, more than the stars of the sky. That promise has not ceased. That promise has not stopped. When you think about maybe how this would be taken during a time of tribulation, if you're reading this and this applies to you and you're going through the hardest time in the history of all creation and you're being reminded here, you see the importance of it. Sometimes we might lightly take God's promise, or we might lightly take it based on the or more earnestly take it based on the circumstance we might be in at the time. But let's remember, if a Hebrew is reading this during the time of tribulation and they're trying to endure to the end, This should be very encouraging to them. Just remember. Remember, Abraham promised when he created the nation of Israel, and out of Abraham, the seed of Abraham, when he created that to succeed. And he said, remember that. Remember that. Even though this is the hardest time in creation for the Jewish people, he's saying, remember that. Do not forget that. And after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. After that tribulation period, they will obtain that promise. Verse 17 says here, it says, wherein God willingly more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability, the unchangeability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. And when you see these two things come together here, verse number 18 and 19, and what it says, by two immutable things, by two unchangeable things, things that could not be changed, in that which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge and laid hold upon the hope that is set before us. That is a time that they're on the run during that time. It's not a pleasant time. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into the veil, within the veil. Now, I wanted to read Malachi here. Again, two things. The two things it's talking about is counsel or his instruction and his oath, which is the solemn affirmation or declaration. He is saying this is what's going to happen. Malachi 3:6. We went through Malachi on Sunday morning. Malachi 3:6, it says, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Remember when he was going through the messages, he was going through the rebukes in Malachi, all the things that they had done wrong, and they didn't even know they were doing it wrong. They were so far away from God, they didn't even know how wrong they were. The Lord is reminding them of his covenant with them. He's saying, I am the Lord, I change not. What he's saying is, you remember that covenant I made with the father Abraham? I change not, that covenant still stands. I'm going to see this through. That's what he's relaying to his people. He's talking about Jacob, Israel. The covenant still stands. Israel is disciplined, but they're not done away with. God is not done with Israel. And you can see that to come. And that's what is to come. And read this here, the last couple of verses, and we'll close. It says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Next time, or Lord willing, if nothing happens, I hope to talk more about Melchizedek, but I wanted to finish here in talking about hope. You see a lot about hope here. Hope and endurance, encouraging the people to follow through. He's encouraging them. This is to be an encouragement during the hardest time of history. But I want to be an encouragement to you tonight. Hope. You look up the definition of hope, it's kind of interesting because I find a little just interesting wording of it. It says, a desire of some good. Like, I hope it snows tomorrow because I like the snow, right? Nobody's saying amen. We're done with that. Nobody's saying amen. Hope, a desire of some good. I want something good. I hope it doesn't snow anymore. I hope it gets warmer. I hope. But hope is a little bit different than a wish. I think that's probably more wishful thinking. But hope has a little bit more than that. Hope is accompanied with at least a slight expectation of obtaining it. So when you hope for something, if you're truly hoping for it, you think you might get it. You might receive what you're hoping for. Now, if you go back and you read everything that we talked about here tonight, and I know it's a lot, but you read that, and you go back and read it, it gives the account of God's word. Again, those two immutable things. When God promises something, it's going to happen. I can't tell you when. Most often, I can't tell you when something is going to happen. Sometimes prayers are seemingly answered before prayed, and sometimes it's years. But when God promises something, it is going to happen. When you see what he's promising the nation of Israel, he is reminding them, you are going to be redeemed. You're going to come through this. I'm going to bring you through this, not because of you or any, not because of the fathers, but because I said. See, that's a promise. And if you're going through the hardest time of your life and you are holding on to scriptures that God has laid in your heart and made promise to you, you can hold on to those promises too. With hopefully more than just a slight expectation that you'll receive it. That's an interesting, every time I read that definition, it kind of, we should expect more out of the Lord. And what I mean by that, have more confidence in Him, His power, His ability. I'll leave it with that tonight. But I hope that's been a blessing and not too much before a business meeting here. And we'll try not to be too lengthy tonight. But let's pray before we have our meeting tonight. Father, I thank You for Your word. And God, I thank You for the times of study, God, that You've allowed and given. And Lord, I thank You so much for shedding light on things, God, and during times of study, Lord, when You show things and help me to better understand, God, and I pray that You help each one here in our church, Lord, as they the labor of love.